ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 16, entitled Lord Parshuram Destroys the Rolling Class, Text Number 10. We'll be doing from text number 10 to 24. So, text number 10.
Ekadashramato Rame Sabhratari vanam gate vairam sishi sishadayishavo labdha chidra upagaman.
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Once when Parshuram left the ashram for the forest with Vasuman and his other brothers, the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna took the opportunity to approach Jamadagni's residence to seek vengeance for their grudge. Since there is no purport, we will continue to read translations of verses till we get a purport and until verse number 24. Translation of verse number 11. The sons of Kartavirya Arjuna were determined to commit sinful deeds. Therefore, when they saw Jamadagni sitting by the side of the fire to perform yajna and meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised by the best of selected prayers, they took the opportunity to kill him. Verse number 12, translation. With pitiable prayers, Renuka, the mother of Parshuram and wife of Jamadagni, begged for the life of her husband. But the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, being devoid of the qualities of Kshatriyas, were so cruel that despite her prayers, they forcibly cut off his head and took it away. Verse 13. Lamenting in grief for the death of her husband, the most chaste Renuka struck her own body with her hands and cried very loudly, "O Rama, my dear son, Rama." Verse number 14. Although the sons of Jamadagni, including Lord Parshuram, were a long distance from home, as soon as they heard Renuka loudly calling, "O Rama, my son," they hastily returned to the ashrama where they saw their father already killed. Verse number 15. Virtually bewildered by grief, anger, indignation, affliction, and lamentation, the sons of Jamadagni cried, "O Father, most religious, saintly person, you have left us and gone to the heavenly planets." Verse number 16. Thus lamenting, Lord Parshuram entrusted his father's dead body to his brothers and personally took up his axe, having decided to put an end to all the Kshatriyas on the surface of the world. Verse number 17. O King, Lord Parshuram then went to Mahishmati, which was already doomed by the sinful killing of a Brahmana. In the midst of that city, he made a mountain of heads severed from the bodies of the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna. Verse 18 and 19, they are together. With the blood of the bodies of these sons, Lord Parshuram created a ghastly river which brought great fear to the kings who had no respect for Brahminical culture. because the Kshatriyas, the men of power in government, were performing sinful activities, Lord Parshuram, on the plea of retaliating for the murder of his father, rid all the Kshatriyas from the face of the earth 21 times. Indeed, in the place known as Samantaka Panchaka, he created 9 lakes filled with their blood. There's a purport here. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Parshuram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and His eternal mission is Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Cha Dushkritam, to protect the devotees and annihilate the miscreants. To kill all the sinful men is one among the tasks of the incarnation of Godhead. Lord Parshuram killed all the Kshatriyas 21 times consecutively because they were disobedient to the Brahminical culture. That the Kshatriyas had killed his father was only a plea. The real fact is that because the Kshatriyas, the ruling class, had become polluted, their position was inauspicious. Brahminical culture is enjoined in the Shastra, especially in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. According to the laws of nature, whether at the time of Parshuram or at the present, if the government becomes irresponsible and sinful, not caring for Brahminical culture, there will certainly be an incarnation of God like Parshuram to create a devastation by fire, famine, pestilence or some other calamity. Whenever the government disrespects the supremacy of the personality of Godhead and fails to protect the institution of Varnashram Dharma, it will certainly have to face such catastrophes as formerly brought about by Lord Parshuram. Since I have been told to cover up to verse number 24, I'll continue. Translation of verse number 20. Thereafter, Parshuram joined his father's head to the dead body and placed the whole body and head upon Kushagras. By offering sacrifices, he began to worship Lord Vasudev, who is the all-pervading supersoul of all the demigods and of every living entity. Verse number 21 and 22 are together again. Translation. After completing the sacrifice, Lord Parshuram gave the eastern direction to the Hota as a gift, the south to the Brahma, the west to the Adhavaryu, the north to the Ugata, and 4 other corners, northeast, southeast, northwest, and southwest, to the other priests. He gave the middle to Kashyapa and the place known as Aryavarta to the Upadrishta. Whatever remained, he distributed among the Sadasyas, the associate priests. Here there's a one-line purport. The tract of land in India between the Himalaya mountains and the Vindhya hills is called Aryavarta. Verse 23. Translation. Thereafter, having completed the ritualistic sacrificial ceremonies, Lord Parshuram took the bath known as the Avabhrita Snana, standing on the bank of the great river Saraswati. Cleared of all sins, Lord Parshuram appeared like the sun in a clear, cloudless sky. This purport here again. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Yagnartat Karmanyo Anyatra Lokoyam Karma Bandhanah. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. Karma Bandhana refers to the repeated acceptance of one material body after another. The whole problem of life is this repetition of birth and death. Therefore, one is advised to work to perform yajna meant for satisfying Lord Vishnu. Although Lord Parshuram was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he had to account for sinful activities. Anyone in this material world, however careful he may be, must commit some sinful activities, even though he does not want to. For example, one may trample many small ants and other insects while walking on the street and kill many living beings unknowingly. Therefore, the Vedic principle of Pancha Yajna, 5 kinds of recommended sacrifice, is compulsory. In this age of Kali, however, there is a great concession given to people in general. Yajna Sankirtana Prayair Yajantihi Sumedasaha. We may worship Lord Chaitanya, the hidden incarnation of Krishna. Krishna Varanam Tvisha Krishnam. Although he is Krishna himself, he always chants Hare Krishna and preaches Krishna consciousness. One is recommended to worship this incarnation by chanting the Sankirtan Yajna. The performance of Sankirtan Yajna is a special concession for human society to save people from being affected by known or unknown sinful activities. We are surrounded by unlimited sins, and therefore it is compulsory that one take to Krishna consciousness and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now we come to the last verse which we are supposed to do today, verse number 24, which also has a purport. Thus Jamadagni, being worshipped by Lord Parshuram, was brought back to life with full remembrance, and he became one of the 7 sages in the group of 7 stars. Purport. The 7 stars revolving around the pole star at the zenith are called Saptarishi Mandala. On these 7 stars, which form the topmost part of our planetary system, reside 7 sages: Kashyapa, Atri, Vasishta, Vishwamitra, Gautama, Jamadagni, and Bharadwaj. These 7 stars are seen every night, and they each make a complete orbit around the pole star within 24 hours. Along with these 7 stars, all the other stars also orbit from east to west. The upper portion of the universe is called the north, and the lower portion is called the south. Even in our ordinary dealings, while studying a map, we regard the upper portion of the map as north. Hare Krishna. Actually, I don't consider myself qualified to sit here and speak. I am more comfortable sitting there and hearing. But anyway, since I have been given this service today, I am doing it as a humble service. So I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, Guru, and the Parampara. So today we have some very strong purports. The story is something like this, in a very brief way to explain it. Jamadagni and Renuka's son was Lord Parshuram, and King Kartavirya Arjuna stole Jamadagni's Kamadenu cow. So Lord Parshuram killed Kartavirya Arjuna. Jamadagni told that it is a sin to kill a king, so you have to go and atone by traveling to holy places. When Kartavirya Arjuna's sons killed Jamadagni as revenge, Parshuram destroyed the entire Kshatriya community 21 times over. This particular verses which we are covered today particularly deals with this aspect, that is, when Lord Parshuram left for the forest accompanied by Vasuman and other brothers, the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, out of revenge, came into Jamadagni Muni's ashram and killed him while he was meditating and preparing to perform a sacrifice. Renuka pleaded but they did not listen. No Kshatriya qualities were shown by them, and they carried the head with them. She cried out for Parshuram. He came and saw the entrusted the body to his brothers, took his axe and went to Mahishmati, Kartavirya Arjuna's kingdom. There he slayed all the Kshatriyas, the sons of the king. A river of blood was formed and the heads were laid in a huge heap, and the blood created 9 lakes in Samanta Panchaka, which was completely filled with the blood of this. On the pretext of punishing the cowardly Kshatriyas for this sinful act, he annihilated the entire Kshatriyas 21 times over, traveling all over the world. He brought back the head of his father and joined it to the body and revived him by performing a suitable sacrifice to please Lord Vasudev. He gave charity, took bath in the river Saraswati and stood on the shore shining like a sun. Jamdagni became one of the 7 sages circumambulating the pole star along with Kashyapa, Atri and the other sages. So what do we learn from this part as given by the purports of Srila Prabhupada? Here it, Prabhupada clearly states, Lord Parshuram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He then explains, he came to discharge his eternal mission of paritranaya cha sadhunam. That means annihilating the miscreants and protecting the saintly people. That they killed his father was only a pretext. It was the immediate cause or the trigger for him to act. But his real purpose was, he killed them to protect the Brahminical culture. They disobeyed the Brahmanas. Kartavirya Arjuna stole Kamadenu, which is not an act a Kshatriya should perform. He was transcending his limits. Later, his sons killed Jamadagni, a Brahmana of great stature, in a very cowardly, deceitful way. Not at all like how a Kshatriya is supposed to act. So because of these kind of activities, the Kshatriyas had generally degenerated into performing. They say, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So since they were the class that was wielding the power, and now they had become corrupt, so that corrupt situation had to be rectified. And here was the Supreme Personality of Godhead maintaining his own creation. Just as if something goes wrong in our house, we take necessary steps to set it right. If a machine is not working or if the house needs some repair, we do the needful. Similarly, in the running and the administration of these universal affairs, the Lord acts from time to time. And the most important point is, the 5th point mentioned is, the Lord, the Brahmanas are very dear to the Lord. We have this Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya cha, Jagaditaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. This mantra is chanted whenever we make offering to the Supreme Lord. So, it is explained in this mantra that the cows and the Brahmanas are very dear to the Lord. And the Lord does not tolerate any offense either to the cows or to the Brahmanas because they are very dear to Him. And because they are actually His representatives. So, how do we understand this? There is one nice shloka which explains this point. By birth, everybody is considered to be a Shudra. Janmanat Jayate Shudra. What is the meaning of Shudra? One who simply is interested in gratifying his senses, does not understand the higher purpose of life. Animals are adept at gratifying the senses. So if a human being comes to that level, then he is simply a Shudra. He does not understand the higher purpose of human life. Janmana jayate Shudra samskarat bhaved dvija. By purificatory processes, one gets a spiritual birth, a second birth. One birth is the birth which takes from the physical womb of the mother. And the second birth is when one is initiated by the spiritual master into the spiritual life. That means taking up the responsibility, the true responsibility of human life. So, Janmana Jayate Shudra Samskarat Bhaved Dvija Veda Pathat Bhavanti Vipra. And when one takes to the study of the Shastra, that is the scriptures, then one is known as a learned person. This is a very relevant and pertinent point to note. Because today people go to schools, colleges and universities. They have degrees. They have graduation. Today graduation does not really hold much value. You've got to be a postgraduate. Even that is not enough. People are diversifying and specializing in various fields of knowledge. So, what is real education that is mentioned here? Study of scriptures. And what is scriptures? Scriptures are the word of God. So until and unless one knows what is the message the Supreme Lord is giving to each one of us, we are not supposed to be learned. So real learning means one who can answer three questions. And these three questions are, who is God? Who am I? And what is my relationship with God? One who understands this is supposed to be a learned person. One who does not understand this is supposed to be ignorant. So you may have people with degrees like MBBS, PhD, FRCS, such eloquent degrees. But according to the Shastras, how would they classify them? If they do not have this basic knowledge, they are supposed to be in avidya. Avidya means ignorant. They do not know what is supposed to be known. We have this nice story of the boatman and the gentleman. We have all seen that story so often being repeated. So what is the purport of that story? The purport of the story is, when you are in the river and if you don't know how to swim, your life is at stake. We are in an ocean of miseries and we are drowning in these miseries. So if we do not know how to swim across this ocean of miseries, no matter what we know, it is considered to be simply ignorance. That means in factually we do not know. So this is the meaning of real knowledge. Veda pathat bhavanti vipra. And ultimately it is explained, Brahma jane iti brahmana. Brahma means the spirit. This again brings us to a very nice point to understand. There are two aspects of our existence. One is the physical body. And the second is the soul. When Srila Prabhupada had been to the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, a very prestigious institute in US where people go for high learning, he was welcome to give the convocation address. They took him around and showed him the various departments. And they said, there is no department of knowledge we have left uncovered. So after surveying the whole thing, when he came to give the convocation address, Prabhupada said, I was searching for one department of knowledge, but it is not there in your university. They were shocked. They said, how come? We have covered everything under the sun. What is it we have not covered? He said, what is that branch of knowledge which teaches the difference between a dead man and a living man? They had no answer. He said, the difference between a dead man and the living man is the presence of the soul. This is the point. You can take up this entire syllabus of MBBS. It covers from toe to head. The entire anatomy is covered in it. But there is no mention of the word soul. Why? Because you cannot take the picture of the soul in the X-ray film. You cannot see it under a microscope. You cannot view it on the monitor. So there is no way by which you can perceive the soul with your senses. So the answer is conveniently live it. But the fact is, if the soul is not existing in the body, would the doctor go and operate such a body? Because that is the causative factor. If the soul is not there, the entire body mechanism does not work. So by living out that which is most important, we are actually breeding a culture of ignorance. That is the unfortunate situation in the world today. Today's education, in the name of secularism, is only ignorance. Material knowledge is actually classified as avidya. The more one studies matter, the deeper one sinks into ignorance. This is given in the Ishopanishad. Therefore, Prabhupada said, today's universities are churning out hippies. He said this in the 70s. But now we are in the 21st, 22nd, what is it? Okay. Now we are in the 2010s. Okay. And what is the situation? It is still worse. Earlier they were only churning out hippies. Today the education system is churning out terrorists. That is the situation. Actually, the terrorists are highly qualified people. They know how to use the computers. They know how to run an airplane. They know how to use a ship. They know how to use an AK-47 rifle. All sophisticated weapons and gadgetries. But what is the end result of their knowledge? Mercilessly killing innocent people in the name of some imaginary principle. So, and not only terrorists, what about the scams which are hitting the headlines every other day? What is scam? Scam is nothing but economic terror. What happens when somebody commits a scam? He is abducting the wealth and property of the legitimate. That is what he is doing. Forcibly taking away the wealth and property from those who legitimately own it, which is another kind of terror. So, Brahma jane iti brahmana. One who can rise above ignorance of matter and perceive the spirit with eyes of knowledge is a brahmana. Divine vision, that is known as, can see the soul, the spirit, and no spirituality. That is a Brahman. That is one who knows God and truth. One who knows himself to be the spirit soul and not this body. And one who acts on the platform of the spirit soul in relation to the super soul who is God. They are also known as Tattva Vidas. So there are two shlokas which again deal with this. Vadanti tat tatva vidam tatvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyati. So in this shloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, it is explained that there are three stages of knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First, as the external, brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan. Brahma, that means brahmeti, means as the external manifest world, then, or rather as the impersonal aspect, in his impersonal aspect, which is known as Brahma, that is spirit. Then Paramatma, the localized representation, and the actual personality, the supreme personality. So there are three stages. So one who knows this is known as Tattva Vidas, that is, who knows the truth. Similarly, we also have a shloka from the Bhagavad Gita. Tat viddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinah. So who is a tattva darshinah? Who can give true knowledge? One who is a tattva darshi. Tattva darshi means who knows the supreme truth. One who knows and sees Only he can give and he can relate to. Otherwise, people cannot explain the real knowledge, the real truth. So, one who knows and sees and relates to the spirit is a spiritualist. And one who cannot see beyond matter is actually a materialist. There's one nice caption given in this book by Chaitanya Charandas, the new book which has been brought out. Idol worship or ideal worship, which is very catchy, which says, believers need no reasons and non-believers accept no reasons. That is, a dichotomy has always been existing in the human society between the atheists and the spiritualists. Spirit is the truth. Seeing spirit in matter, this was a very nice concept explained by His Grace Govind Prabhu. He said, we celebrate a festival known as Dasera, which is also sometimes celebrated as Saraswati Puja or Ayudha Puja, they call it in the south. So, what is the meaning of this? The workmen, it's also known as Vishwakarma Puja, if I'm not mistaken, the workmen, they gather their implements and on that particular day, they will not use it. They worship it. Even in Mumbai, all the shops, on the day of Dasera, one day preceding to Dasera, they clean the whole place and they garland, they apply all auspicious things and they make the whole place auspicious, a kind of worship. What is the principle behind this? So Govind Prabhu very nicely explained. The principle is seeing spirit in matter. Implements are made of iron and steel or any other substance. So why should you worship them? What is the point in worshipping? Is it that they are so ignorant that they have nothing to worship, so they worship some implements? Like today's people are really ignorant. If they do not accept God to worship, then they start worshipping dog. That is the problem. But this is not like that. Seeing spirit in matter. So this is the spiritual culture we are endowed with. And we should understand. Things may be there in a material form, but to see the spirit in it is actually spirituality. And to remain locked on the material platform, one doesn't make any advancement. One restrains oneself to exactly what one can see. Then actually what happens is, one is completely baffled in life. Why is one baffled in life? Because it is explained, Prabhupada says, it is like trying to catch the shadow. If you catch the shadow, actually there is no way you can catch it. But even then, you get a temporary satisfaction. Yes, now the shadow is not moving, I put my hand on it. So now I have locked it, it cannot move. But then what happens when the object starts moving? The shadow will simply move. So the object is spirit and the shadow is matter. And people are getting entangled with matter and they are getting fooled. And they are getting confused. They are trying to hold to matter and trying to manipulate matter. But actually, the real object that they are supposed to attain is the spirit. Now take the latest example. We have Japan. Earthquake, tsunami. And the reactors have behaved in a way they were never anticipated to. Just 2 days back I read an article. One reporter had written that 2 or 3 years back they were escorted into those places and a demonstration was given to them how a perfect computerized program has been created to see that even in case something goes wrong, automatically the reactor will get shut and there will be no radiation, no danger of radiation. But the earthquake did what the computer engineers could not foresee. So this is exactly what it is, trying to get locked up only on the sphere of matter. If you understand spirit, then one must know, for God, nothing is impossible. So the way in which one can really go about in life is rather to depend on God, rather than trying to make things materially perfect, which is an impossibility. Materially perfection cannot be achieved. Why? Krishna himself explains. Daivi esha hi gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Mameva ye prapadhyante mayam yetam tarantiti. He says, this material energy is my own external energy. Duratya. Duratya means you cannot dominate it. You cannot control it. It is beyond your control. But still the scientists are not giving up that attempt and stubbornly they are holding on to it. Why? Just because they refuse to see the spirit. So just see what a wonderful culture we are having. Just see spirit and matter. And that is a training ground to give yourself a right direction to think. Otherwise your very thought process begins to go in the wrong direction. So Parshuram came to protect the Brahminical culture. The Lord is above Varnas and Ashramas. He was born as a Brahmana. He performed as a Kshatriya and retired to be again a Brahmana. He is an incarnation. Is he an incarnation of violence? Doing ghastly deeds? That is a question which arises. What kind of God is this? Annihilating the entire generation 21 times over? No, he is an incarnation of mercy. The doctor performs surgery, cuts open the body, blood oozes out. Is he violent? Is he killing or saving? Is he merciful or is he murderous? Obviously, we know the doctor is merciful, he is saving a life. When a person is infected with cancer, the doctor wields the knife to cut out the infected, contaminated part of the body to save the person and stop the infection from spreading further. So the Kshatriyas as a class had fallen from their standards and had become injurious and harmful to the social body. So he came to cut off the contaminated consciousness of the Kshatriya class and save the social body by protecting the Brahminical culture, the class that cultures the truth, that is Tattvadarshi. Having done that, he flung the axe. His mission was accomplished. Just as the doctor will use the knife only for the purpose it is required. He doesn't carry the knife all the time with him, like a murderer does. Brahminical culture teaches to perform activities, work as a sacrifice to Lord Vishnu. This is a very important point that has been mentioned in the purports. Yagnartat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhanat tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sanga samachara. So this particular aspect can be given only by the Brahminical culture. Therefore, it is very essential to protect it. How to work? Nowadays, we see the ad very often. How would you like to work? Work hard or work smart, they say. Sometimes they have these ads on the t-shirts. I don't slog it, I work smart. But actually, what is the meaning of working smart? The meaning of working smart is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then you are saved from the reactions of your activities. Otherwise, you are bound by the reactions and you are getting entangled deeper and deeper. Work as sacrifice to Vishnu, otherwise be bound to the material world. So he has shown by example that everyone is subject to reaction of one's activities. Even the Lord does not excuse himself from the reactions. Even after killing Kartivirya Arjuna, as his father advised, he atoned. Similarly, after killing the sons of Jamadagni, who were Kshatriyas who had fallen from the standards, it was not so much of an offense. But still, he took a holy bath and the river Saraswati as an atoning. So how to counter the sin that we are performing? Because it is explained that you cannot live sinlessly in this world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, just perform Sankirtan. This is not an option, but a compulsion for humanity at large. A very sublime process and simple at the same time. So chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So if there are no questions or any comments, I think we can end the class here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.